Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So a few weeks ago, we kicked off our summer sermon series, The Parables of Jesus. And last week, we started what is kind of a series within a series on one of Jesus' most famous parables, the parable of the sower. And we're doing this as a two-parter. And last week, we started off with what is truly most important in this parable. Part one is, what is God doing in this parable? We talked about this. And we talked about essentially how this parable is an illustration of God's incredible love for his people. That no matter what, that no matter what culture you're in or where you come from or how likely it may be that you believe God's word, he doesn't keep it from anyone. And that word, what is it? It's the message of saving grace. That despite our sin, that despite that we are broken and we are not worthy, God loved us anyway. He died for us and we have life in his name because of that. And because that message is not about who we are, it's about who God is, there are also no prerequisites on who should receive that message, on who should get the chance to believe in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus tells us this parable of the sower, where the sower goes out and it seems foolish, but he casts his seed wherever it may fall, not just on good soil, but also on the path, on the rocky soil, among the thorns, in these places that are unlikely for the soil to sprout that seed. But he casts them there because he loves those hearts too, and because his word is powerful and effective, and there is a chance that that word will take root there. That's our God's love, that no matter what, he loved everyone, and he continues to make sure his word is spread to all people. That is part one, what God is doing in this parable. Now, part two is looking at it from the other angle. Part one is God looking down. What's God doing in this parable? Part two is, what are we doing? Part two is, what is our response to God's word in this parable? How do we respond when we hear this great message of love that is inclusive? And we talked a little bit about our response last week. We talked about one of our responses. And I've got two listed on your sermon note page. And the response we talked about last week is really our second response. It's to be co-sowers of the word, to do as he did, to take this great gift we've been given, this great word we've been given, and to share it, not just to the people who we think might respond positively, but to share it with everyone and trust God to do the rest of the work. That is part of our calling in this parable. But you notice it is response number two. It's not our first response. And there's a reason for that. And the reason is this: we have to do something else first before we can effectively do this. And I think this parable lends to that. This parable also gives us warnings about what happens if our faith is not well rooted. What happens if we don't understand God's word as on the path, where the enemy comes and snatches that word away before it can ever take root. It gives us an example of what happens if our faith doesn't have a solid and structured foundation, where persecution and trial comes and that faith can be easily dried up. Jesus also shows us how thorns, how other cares in our life, how deceitful desires can also choke out our faith. And Jesus makes the point to say that only in the good soil did faith grow and produce fruit. Know what that fruit is? It's this. That 30, 60, or 100-fold fruit is what is produced when we allow ourselves to grow in good soil and share God's word. So that is the response. But the first response is this: be the good soil. In order to do that second response, in order to be effective co-sowers, we must first allow ourselves to be good soil. Now, let me stress something as I say this. We're not the ones who produce faith. We don't come to Jesus first. He comes and reaches to us. It is his work through the Holy Spirit, through his word and sacraments, that produces faith in us. It's God's doing. But there is something we can do. We can create an environment in our life where faith can grow, where God can continue to work to strengthen our faith. Or we can do the opposite. We can create an environment where our faith is constantly endangered, attacked, antagonized, constantly weakened. We can do one of those two things. We can either give ourselves a good environment, good soil, or we can put ourselves in a place of danger for that word continuing to grow in our lives. It's when we allow ourselves to be the good soil that second response happens. that we are allowed to be co-sowers and to produce fruit. So our first response must always be being the good soil. We sow because we know his message of grace, and we need to intimately and deeply know that message of love before we can effectively share it. Our first response is always being the good soil. This is why being the good soil matters. And honestly, as we talk about these two responses to this parable, being the good soil and being co-sowers, those responses to this parable are really a good response to everything in God's word, to everything he has for us to do. They really mirror our purpose in life. Now, while I was in Guatemala with the youth, we did a Bible study on this very question. Our first study of the week, I asked the kids a simple question: why are you here? It was kind of a trick question, because I wanted them to first answer, why am I here in Guatemala? But you see, that answer I wanted from them, it was the same answer to another question I was going to ask them. Now, that's why you're here in Guatemala, but why now are you here on earth? What's your purpose? What is your purpose in being here? And we came up with an answer, and it was that answer that we used as the basis for the rest of our devotions throughout the week. And the answer that we came up with is this: our purpose, to know God's love and to make his love known. I mean, doesn't that sum up the story of this parable? First, God is making his love known to us. Then he's making sure that we can keep that love strong in our lives. And now he's saying, go out and share that with others as I did. That is our purpose, to know what God did for us and then to share that love. That's our calling. That is what we are being called to do in this parable, in his word, and in our lives. But here's the thing. This is an encouragement given to us in this parable, an encouragement given to us in God's word, a calling, something we should strive to follow. But this parable is not just encouragement. There's also some warnings here, some warnings of what can happen to God's word if the good soil is not present in our lives. Warnings that there really is a real threat, that there really is an enemy. And that enemy, his entire goal, the devil's entire goal, is to make sure this doesn't happen. That's all he wants, to do the opposite of what God would have us do, to make sure that we don't know his love, and that by us not knowing his love in its fullness, we do not go out and share that love. That's his goal, his purpose. Everything he does is to make sure that is undermined. And I think it's important for us to reflect on this sometimes, because one of Satan's greatest tricks is convincing us he's not really there, convincing us he's not really a threat. And his strategy has really been the same since the very beginning. We looked at his first strategy in Genesis chapter 3 today, where he tempted Adam and Eve for that first time. And his strategy then is the same as it is now, to get us to question God. And he does it with a familiar question. Those first words to Eve, that is the danger, because as he said to her long ago, he still says to us. He whispers in your ear, did God actually say that? That's what he said to Eve, and that's what he often says to us. Did God actually say that? Did he actually mean it that way? Does he actually want you to do that? Is it actually that important? This is the danger to us fulfilling God's purpose for us of knowing his love and then sharing that love. It's in the devil's whispering in our ear, did God actually say that? This is really how he operates. And I think it's important that we think about this. And we're going to look at it for a second here. And we're going to think about it through the illustration that Jesus gave us in the parable of the sower. Because in three of those four types of soil, Jesus gave us illustrations of times when God's word is not received or does not grow or falters, when that faith falls apart. And the first example was the simple path, the quickest and easiest route for the devil, us hearing God's word and us not understanding and us rejecting it from the start. What's the devil really doing when that happens? When God's word falls on a heart that is like the path, what he's really doing is he's whispering in people's ears, did God really say that? Does God really exist? Is that really his word? And people allow him to infiltrate their lives and their thoughts, and they say, I don't believe. God didn't really say that. That's his quickest and easiest way, and in our country and in our world, he's becoming better and better at that, on keeping the word from ever taking root, from ever starting up, and stopping the purpose right there. But you know, for us here, that path analogy doesn't apply as well. Because we're here worshiping God, faith has sprouted. But that doesn't mean the devil's giving up. That doesn't mean his warfare is over. He instead approaches it in different ways. Instead, he whispers in our ear, did God really say that about different things? For instance, the rocky soil, that faith that immediately sprouts with joy, but only when it's easy. Not necessarily when that faith challenges. And that's one of the devil's greatest goals. One of the things he wants to happen most is for a Christian to have a shallow faith. So he whispers in their ear, is that study of God's word really that important? Is that prayer life really that important? Is it really that important that you make it to church or have a community of faith or have a small group to rely on? Is it really that important? Did God really say that? Does he really need you to do that? And all the while he whispers in our ear, trying to keep our faith shallow, trying to keep those roots from growing deep. And what he's trying to do is make sure that when those trials come, our faith is in danger. Because those trials, they will come. There will be times where sin and brokenness in our world come and they hurt us. And a shallow faith is a dangerous place to be. A faith that doesn't have scripture rooted in its life. A faith that doesn't have a Christian community to lean on. And that's what the devil wants. That is why he whispers these things in our ear. Did God really say that? Does he really want you to do that? Does he really want you here today? All because he wants us in a place where when those trials come, our faith is in danger. But you know, a lot of us aren't really in that place. A lot of us fight the devil when he says that. A lot of us really take our faith seriously. You're here today. You're here most weeks. Many of us are part of small groups and Bible studies. Many of us make a point to do daily devotions, to read scripture, to pray. We take our faith seriously. But the devil, he still attacks where and when he can. So he introduces thorns. He introduces other temptations, other things in our life that we don't want to let go of. Things that our conscience tells us are wrong. Things that God's word blatantly says are wrong. Things that are in violation of what he has called us to do. The things that our sinful heart wants to believe. The things our sinful heart doesn't want to let go of. Or the things we don't want to wait for. And all the while, we take these things and we know they pull us from God and we still do them anyway because Satan is whispering into our ears all the justification we need. He says to us, again, did God really say that? Maybe he says to us, did he really mean it that way? How can God expect you to do this when you feel like this? How can God expect you to follow him when that's not truly what makes you happy? Or maybe he simply says to us, will that really hurt you that much? And all the while, he whispers in our ear, and these seeds of doubt are sown, and he grabs a toehold or a foothold, and he gets his way into our lives. And this is the danger. The danger is not that God's word is not powerful. It's not that God's word is not effective. It's not that God's word is not true. The danger is that we will allow ourselves to not be good soil, to allow the devil to constantly whisper in our ear and grab a foothold in our lives. We can say no. God's word is powerful, but we can say no. We can say, no, I don't believe. Or we can say, no, I don't believe that part of your word. Or we can say, God, I love you, but I also love this, and I'm not willing to let go of it. This is how the enemy works. So ask yourself, do a little reflection in your life right now. Where's the devil speaking in your ear? Where is he saying to you, did God really say that? Because the truth is, he's going after all of us. If we know of God's love, he's coming after us. And he wants to say to us, did God actually say that? That's the reality in this sinful world. There will be constant attacks. There will be trials. There will be persecution. There will be sin. There will be temptation. And there will be seeds of doubt sown in our lives. And those seeds of doubt, they don't always come in the doubt of who God is and that he is our Savior. The devil doesn't always start there. He often doesn't start there in a well-rooted, well-grounded faith. Instead, he chips away piece by piece. He puts the question in our head, doubting one part of God's word first, or convincing us that one sin is not really a sin, or introducing a trial in our life that takes us away from our community of faith and maybe keeps us away so that he can bring trials or persecution at the right time to really get us. This is the threat. This is the reason being good soil is so crucial, so important. So what do we do? What is the solution to this danger? Because this danger is present. Whether we choose to recognize it or not, it's still there. What is our solution? You know, the cool thing about this parable is it's all about God. It's all about what he did for his people. It's all about how much he loves us, that even though we're not always the good soil, he still casts his word to us. And then he gives the Holy Spirit to work faith in even broken hearts. But the other thing is, he gives us the solutions to preserve that faith as well. And so here's the solution. Put on God's armor. Now I'm taking this straight from Ephesians chapter 6, where St. Paul gives us this beautiful illustration of the gifts of God, the gifts of protection of our faith, and he compares them to bodily armor, things that will protect us. And notice also, if you read Ephesians chapter 6, St. Paul does not mince words. He tells us exactly what we're fighting against, that we're not struggling against flesh and blood. The devil wants us to think that. He wants us to think that all of our problems here are just earthly problems. But no, it is a battle for our soul, a battle for our soul and the souls of those who we may be able to touch. The whole battle is that we don't know God's love and that we don't share that love. That is what he is after, and that is why this armor is so important. And in that message in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul gives us six pieces of armor. Simple things. The belt of truth, God's truth, his message, the truth, and the answers to pretty much every question there is. He gives us that to rely on. He gives us his righteousness. Righteousness, again, that is not by our own doing, but by what he did for us on that cross. And that righteousness, it keeps us from despair. It keeps us from hopelessness. Knowing what he did for us is a powerful defense. And shoes fitted with the gospel. Those shoes, they are our foundation. The gospel is our foundation. A shield of faith. Again, I said faith, it is a gift produced by the Holy Spirit, by hearing God's word, by receiving his sacraments. And that faith, it is the greatest defense against the times where the devil whispers in your ear, did God actually say that? That helmet of salvation, protecting the most important part of our body. God has already taken care of everything that was necessary for us to be saved, for us to have eternal life. And here's the thing. When the devil throws trials and persecutions at you, it's not the end. It's not something that is hopeless, because we have something so much greater to look forward to. Knowing of his salvation is a great defense against his attacks. And finally, Paul says, and take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The devil wants nothing less than for this word to get out, for us to know it in our hearts, for us to read it, believe it, digest it, and for us to share it. It is a great defense against his attacks. And here's the cool thing about these. These are powerful tools that God has given us. They're not things that we buy, not things that we have to earn, not things that we have to go out and get. They are already there. We just need to put them to use. We need to not take off the armor that God has provided us with. This parable, it's a parable about God's great love for his people, a love so great that even though we didn't deserve it, he died for us that we may have life. And that message, it's so important that he made sure that through his prophets, through his own word, through his apostles, through us even today, that everyone gets to hear that word, whether or not we think they may believe. And now that that word has been spread, God, he also gives us these tools to protect it, these things that defend us against the schemes of Satan. Because the truth is, the devil will always be whispering in our ears. But God is louder. His love is stronger. His love is more powerful. His love was more powerful on the day he died for us, on the day he rose again, where he conquered death and the devil for us as believers. His love is still more powerful today. His love will always be more powerful, and there will be a day when he comes again and death and the devil are defeated once and for all, where the schemes of Satan are thwarted forever. His love will reign supreme. And that's our purpose. Our simple purpose is to know his love, to know it intimately, to let it be the foundation of our very lives, that nothing can separate us from him. Those pieces of armor, they're simple tools God has given us to remind us of his love and to keep us in his love forever. And when we know that love, we are compelled to share it. We have been given a great gift, and that gift needs to be shared. That is our purpose. It is simple, it is powerful, but it's not always easy. So next time the devil whispers in your ear saying, "Did God really say that?" Answer him. Answer him with God's love. Answer him by putting on the armor God has provided you with. Answer him most of all by looking to that cross and remembering what Jesus did for you because he loves you. That is the greatest act of love that will ever be shown in this world. Your God died that you may have life. His love is always the answer. His love is the only answer we will ever need. His love is the only answer our world really needs, even if they don't know it yet. Know that love. Make it the foundation of your life. Know it intimately, and then go share it. Amen. Now may this peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.